Mini episode 1643 of the FDH Lounge is brought to you by Sportsology, delivering unconventional columns and webcasts about sports, TV, music, movies, and more. Follow them on the web at sportsology.com.
The FDH Lounge. You want to schedule your life around it.
A long time ago, on a gloomy, wet Cleveland spring night, two men stand alone amidst the late night drizzle. Their voices echo across the vacant station parking lot as they debate the merits of the great American radio show that have been missing for far too long. On that night, an idea was born. That idea became the FDH Lounge. Welcome to the FDH Lounge.
Hello, everyone. Welcome to the FDH Lounge. This is FDH Managing Partner Rick Morris here with my fellow FDH Lounge original dignitary Chris Galloway. We are going through division by division in 2023, and we are up now to the AFC South doing our preview. I'll refer everyone back to the top of the first one of these we did, the AFC East, to get our overarching thoughts for the offseason and anything coming into the season, overarching thoughts for this season. The rest of these are just division by division, and our format is taken from Fantasy Football Draftology 2023, available on the main page of fantasydrafthelp.com. The one run-on sentence for each team that we have in there. So the one run-on sentence for each team in the AFC South. We start with Jacksonville. In the game's most rapidly improving division, the Jags will have to work harder to stay ahead of the pack, but they are likely to do so behind a Trevor Lawrence who is becoming what he was forecast to be, notwithstanding some vulnerability at the defensive front and back. Houston, very quietly, the Texans have filled just about more holes over the past 2 years than almost any other team in the league, and it is only the youth of the roster that will make it difficult for DeMeco Ryans to have them challenging for the divisional title until the end. Indianapolis, Anthony Richardson was a higher ceiling, lower floor pick than many prospects, and he may take a while to grab the reins, but this is a franchise that came out of the offseason having addressed many needs, and if the passer is on a quicker developmental timetable, look out. The one updated note there, though, is Jonathan Taylor out until at least week three on the PUP list. Tennessee, the defense should be improved over the past 2 years, but an offense that has relied disproportionately on riding Derrick Henry into the ground will find out likely this season the limitations of that approach, and there will need to be a reckoning for this team's failures on that side of the ball in recent seasons. So the AFC South, this is a division, I believe from talking to you off air, Chris, we haven't done this recently, but I believe going back a few months, I think you agree with me that this is one of the real up-and-coming divisions in the NFL based on the way the offseason went.
Yeah, it absolutely is. They're not there yet.
Right.
Because you've got a team like Tennessee that's kind of fading backwards.
Right.
And you've got the Colts now building for the future, but they're not going to be there yet. Mm-hmm. Houston's in full youth mode, and to your point, they're not going to be there yet. I'm not convinced on C.J. Stroud, but whatever. I mean, you don't know until you see it.
Right.
I wasn't a C.J. Stroud fan in college.
Right.
So I don't think he's going to translate. I get it. That game against Georgia, he was fantastic. But one game does not a NFL career make.
Right.
So how I see this division going is, it's, for me, it's the Jaguars and then everybody else.
Sure.
The Jaguars are there. They are themselves young, talented, and hungry with good coaching. So I've got the Jaguars led by OU's own Nathan Rourke. Oh, no.
I love it. I love it.
Yeah, I just got to get my OU plug in there.
Yes.
Although the kid's been killing it, and you know, the question in Jacksonville right now, is he going to be QB3 or is he going to be QB2?
Right.
He might be QB2 by the end of the year. And we all know what he did in the CFL. So
right.
Not to talk about the Jaguars' backup quarterback. But, you know, like any team, the backup could be important if a starter goes down. Look, the Jaguars are talented all over the place. I think they win 11 games. I think they win 11 games by virtue of the fact that the rest of that division is kind of, it's too young and too inexperienced and not strong enough. They're going to get some wins there. And then just when I looked at their schedule, I kind of just game played it out. I've got them at 11-6,
mm-hmm.
and you know, strongly on their way into the postseason. I've got the Titans at 8-9. You know, they still have questions on defense. I think Vrabel is just that classic tough-nosed coach that's just going to always find a way to get them either right around 500 or above. But I think this year, the fact that you're kind of relying on DeAndre Hopkins to be the guy, and Derrick Henry is, I think he's turning 30 this year.
Yep.
You know, they've put a lot of miles on his body. And look, he's an amazing running back. You and I both know at some point that there's a point where that just doesn't work anymore.
Yeah, true.
And he's had a lot of miles on a guy that's turned 30.
Right.
I don't, you know, their quarterback play is questionable. I see the Titans with their schedule. I see them at about 8-9, competitive, going to give some people some fits. They're going to be physical. They're going to be tough like their coach.
Right.
But they're not going to be, they're a mediocre football team that's going to finish with 7-8 wins. I'm going to give them 8. But that's where they are. And okay. That's the second place team. They're not going to compete with the Jaguars. The Colts, I think, are looking at 4-5 wins.
Okay.
Look, Anthony Richardson is not ready to be a starting quarterback in this league.
Mm-hmm.
Sorry, he is not.
Right.
And that doesn't mean in the future he won't be.
Right.
Because you look at the rawness and you go, wow, that's tantalizing. But I don't think, I mean, he's not there yet. And you have an O-line that's struggled at times. You've got a defense with question marks all over the place. You've got, I mean, I don't really believe, other than Jonathan Taylor, there's not a lot I really believe in this team. I think they're a 4-5 win team.
Right.
And you know, they might be a 3-win team. Because wow. The rookie quarterback could be horrible.
Okay.
Well, he's getting his lumps. I mean, we've seen that.
Okay.
I mean, don't forget about Peyton Manning in his first year.
Right.
I mean, they were terrible.
Right.
So I don't expect anything out of the Colts. The Colts. And then the Texans, I like what they're doing in terms of acquiring talent. I like where they are, but they're young. And again, I see that as another team with a quarterback I'm not sure about. I think he's further along than Richardson, but I'm still not sure about. So I've got them, again, 4-6 wins. I'll call it 5. They're not ready. They're not ready for prime time either, but that is a team that in a year or two really could be good.
Yeah.
Just right now, they're just not there. So the way I see it, it's, you know, it's the Jaguars and then everybody else.
Okay.
You know, I think Jacksonville easily wins this division and puts themselves in a place to at least, you know, get to the second round of the playoffs. And depending on how the matchups work out, I mean, you know, they're going to be playing, you know, well into January.
Well, the way that this division is progressing, I'm going to go back to something that you had said in a previous segment here about the league this year, and that it's, I guess we can't ever say that it's going to be more of an 8-8 league, because now it would be more of an 8-8-1 league, right? But as far as how that goes, I actually see a higher floor for the also-rans in this division. I've got Jacksonville as the sole playoff team, winning the division at 11-6. I have Houston, Indy, and Tennessee all at 8-9, and I think Indy, more than a lot of teams out there, is going to be an example of better toward the end of the season than they are early on. You've used that about a few teams in some of the previous segments. I think that is going to classify Indianapolis. And then Tennessee, for as much contempt as I seem to have for them year in and year out, and seeing them as being overvalued by the quote-unquote pundits, like Tennessee, or like Pittsburgh, they always tend to have a higher floor than I think they're gonna. So much like me having Pittsburgh at 8-9, I've got Tennessee at 8-9 as well. And then Houston, I mean, if there's any team in this division that is going to be poised to shock the world, I think it's Houston. They're not there yet, but I like where they're going. I think DeMeco Ryans is going to be successful with them in the next couple of years. But I've got Jacksonville winning the division by 3 games. One of the bigger margins of division triumph, I think, in the league this year.
So really, you and I see it all basically the same, right? I mean, we have the same record for Jacksonville in first place. We've got Titans in second place with the same. We agree on that, 8-9. Like, yeah. You're believing in the Colts and the Texans more than I am.
Yes.
And I think that's really the only place that we differ on this.
Agreed.
I just find you're a little more optimistic. I think with Richardson, the growing pains are going to be real. The struggle is going to be real. And I think with Houston, again, same thing. They're just not there yet in terms of the youth. So I just, again, they're getting better. They're more talented.
Right.
But, you know, if Houston is a competitive 5-12, now, that's going to be a team that you go, oh, yeah, they're coming. And I agree with you. Both those teams, the Colts and the Houston Texans, should be better at the end of the year. That's what youth does, right?
Like, right.
You get your lumps, they get their experience, they're fresher than maybe a older team by the end of the year. And so they're better in the that assessment. We just disagree slightly on the record element. But I think it sounds like we see the division pretty much the same.
I think we do. And for me, from the perspective of Indianapolis, I think Gardner Minshew, one way or another, is going to be in there for a good chunk of the way. And I think, you know, he's one of these guys like Case Keenum in that, you know, 20-40 range in the league here, the low-end starters, the high-end backups. I think he's a guy that is going to give them, you know, a decent floor, so to speak. So I think they may end up winning some games that they might not otherwise. I think Indy might be poised to maybe steal some games from some of these teams. But yeah, fundamentally, we do see the division the same way. And then Jacksonville coming in, just as a little bit of a hint towards what we've got going later on here with our playoff picks. I see Jacksonville as the 4 seed and as a team that is going to have a tough time with whoever comes in as the best wild card team in the league. If I remember correctly, I think they were the 4 seed last year and did hold off the Chargers. I think it's going to be a very, very similar scenario where they're going to be facing a very high-end wild card team in the AFC and are going to have their challenges. So with that being the case, do you see it the same way?
I do. I mean, that's going to be one hell of a matchup between, you know, the Cleveland Browns and the Jaguars down in Jacksonville. Because, again, like I said, if that's the way it plays out, to your point, whether it's the Browns or another team, you know, it very well could end up being the Browns. You know, a team like Cleveland, as I've said to you, I expect to be far better at the end and to be surging.
Yes.
And so, to your point, Jacksonville runs the season through a weaker division, runs up the record, gets a higher seed, that's the 4 seed, and then here come the Browns. They just played a brutal game against Cincinnati to end up in a wild card, win a tiebreak, end up in the playoffs, win their wild card game, and then, you know, go down to Jacksonville in the divisional round. And that would be, I mean, think of those two teams and think of those rosters playing in Jacksonville, second round of the playoffs.
That would be incredible.
Right?
Yep.
Or maybe it works out. I mean, well, wait a minute. Am I rethinking that? So Jacksonville's the 4 seed. They would actually play in the first round, wouldn't they?
They would. They'd play the 5 seed.
Yeah, okay. Well, okay. So either way, right? Like, Cleveland surging, they lose a tough one with Cincinnati, and they roll into that first week of the playoffs going to Jacksonville to play them. And Jacksonville's kind of had it easy with an easier, weaker division. To your point, whether it's first round or second round, whatever, I mean, think of those two teams and those two rosters. Who do you like there? I'd go Browns.
I would probably.
Let's say hypothetically my scenario plays out that way, right? They're 10-7. They lost a nail biter to Cincinnati. They're hungry. They're pissed that they didn't win that. They played a brutal schedule, harder schedule than the Jaguars. And they go to Jacksonville, and I'm like, I like the Browns in that spot.
I might lean Browns, but I actually think it's going to be the Battle of Florida in the AFC in the 4-5 game. So we'll get to that subsequently here. but I think it's going to be a real north-south rivalry game in Florida when it comes to that. So we shall see. Any additional thoughts on the AFC South for 2023, Chris?
No, I would love to see the Browns play Jacksonville in the playoffs because it'll be cold. We could travel down there. They have a great little stadium, I will tell you, having gone down a couple years ago to watch the Browns play in Jacksonville.
Mm-hmm.
And we could get those really cool seats in the pool.
Nice.
And sit and watch the Brownies win in Jacksonville.
I remember that being featured on, what was it, I think Double or Nothing a couple of years ago, when they did the stadium stampede match during the pandemic when all the wrestling events were taking place at the adjoining Daly's Place amphitheater there for AEW. And they did this big brawl all over the stadium here. And I remember the pool coming into play for part of it as well. So, yeah, that's a very memorable spot there. So, yes.
Well, yeah, and it was during the pandemic, but I will tell you, just a plug for Jacksonville, I know they're looking at getting a new stadium. I and the other Browns fans that went, we liked that stadium. It was nice.
Yeah.
Like, I did not have any gripes about that stadium whatsoever.
Yeah.
It was pretty decent.
Yeah.
You know, does it have all the big, sexy, luxury stuff that everybody wants now? You know, is it SoFi? No.
No.
But it's a better stadium than Cleveland Browns Stadium, I'll tell you that.
all right, that's our look at the 2023 AFC South. More divisions coming up here. Thank you, Chris Galloway, and thank you, everybody, for joining us for this look at the AFC South in 2023.